Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. We have Alex Leonida, the CEO of Silkflow, on our podcast today. Silkflow helps you capture, manage, engage, and continuously measure your intelligent automation opportunities. In this chat, we talk about the key challenges in intelligent automation, poor visibility, governance, and culture. Alex shares his solutions and frameworks to address these issues. Let's listen in. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. Thank you for being a club member and all your contributions. It's awesome having you in the club as well as on the podcast today. Let's start with a quick intro today.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Nandan. And again, thanks again. It's a great community and I'm glad I joined when I did. I brought up in the UK originally, lived there most of my life. But then I moved recently to Europe after COVID. Now I just flip back between the two and kind of like multicultural, I guess. Fun facts, do archery in my spare time sometimes, and trying to get into painting.
Okay.
It didn't work out. No, it didn't work out. Surfing is another one as well. You can actually do that in Europe, funny enough.
Okay.
Yeah. So in terms of intelligent automation, I started out from uni in finance, funnily enough, in some of the functions that are being automated right now. Started off in operations. Then with companies like HSBC, then I went into trading. So I was a broker at one point for currencies. And then I went into hedge funds and I was more on the operations side. I think I just remember one time sitting there looking across and thinking, I can't do the same thing for 10 years. A lot of the work I was doing was so manual, repetitive, the usual kind of use case for automation, RPA, all the good stuff, right? Literally creating new files, copy pasting them. So I decided there must be a better way to do a lot of the tasks that I was doing. So I started teaching myself the code. Started off with Python, kind of went from there really, and started automating pieces of my work. Then I got headhunted by Deloitte after a few hackathons. Then I did a number of fantastic projects with them and then started my own consultancy for about 7 years now running. Doing some fantastic projects again across Europe, and most of them with like global companies, using all sorts of tools. You name it, I've probably used it, whether it's or implemented it, whether it's RPA, IDP, machine learning and AI, all sorts. And it comes to today where after about a year ago, noticed a number of main issues within the space. A lot of companies are struggling with. So I started a new startup called Silkflow, which aims to address those.
Excellent. And I think that's an awesome proposition coming in from a person who had the pain and solving that pain for yourself.
I used to be that citizen developer.
Yeah, you used to be the citizen. Then you learned programming. You became a developer. I'm a real developer, not a citizen developer. And then you started developing things for people.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a great developer, but okay. Yes, enough.
Okay, but dangerous enough so that, you know, you understand how to solve these problems. And, you know, now you are building a product or you built a product with paying customers, solving a problem which you think is prevalent there, right? So what's that problem and, you know, what's Silkflow about?
Yeah, sure. So after 7 years of implementing all these different automation and ML AI technologies for different types of companies and different verticals as well, healthcare, finance, insurance, telecoms, and so on. Three main problems kept arising. One was poor visibility. So majority of these projects, whether they're, you know, just a small team with a few automations or a larger team, the majority of the employees in that business have no idea what this team are doing. So there's a lot of groundwork that needs to be done in educating people and getting them up to speed. Well, upskilling and also training and educating them on what automation toolkit this particular team in the company has and what they can do with it. Then there's the visibility, poor visibility around what's actually being built in what department, whether that can be reused across the organization. And there's just a lot of work to do on that educational point, understanding the KPIs for the business and their goals with automation in general and AI in general. A lot of that stuff is tracked using various project management tools, Excel spreadsheets, and it's just a bit of a mess, really, especially when you have so many automation tools and the market is huge. Two, design governance. So that was more mainly around the fact that you have siloed development of these tools, different departments buying and implementing different solutions for many, many different subjects or use cases. And a lot of the time, without looking at security standards or good practice and actually quality. So there's a big rush once these tools have come in for IT to then start trying to manage and get to grips with what's being used, right? And making sure it fits all of their requirements in terms of safety and cybersecurity. And then the final part is just culture change. I think it's the hardest part. And it's probably why everyone's saying 70% of these digital automation projects fail. It's mainly just because the employees aren't engaged enough. They see a new shiny tool, they don't really have a good understanding of it. And it's just very difficult to create those champions that you really need to drive digital transformation.
Okay. So, yeah, tough problems there, right? And I think that's a core of the problem, and especially the culture, the people, and also, understanding what are the opportunities. Today, I shared one post in terms of the biggest barrier to AI adoption is people not understanding the use cases or the ideas, to bring in for AI. So I think from your perspective, that's a problem you're solving. So how do you go about solving that problem of poor visibility into this AI automation idea or ideas or use cases?
Yeah, sure. I think it just turns into, especially how we're doing it with Silkflow, is to create some kind of central knowledge base for all of these projects that are going on within the company and giving visibility not just to certain members of that company who would be implementing them, building them, but the wider organization as a whole, allowing everyone to come in, collaborate, like, share, follow, give feedback on these opportunities as well. And possibly see if there's any cases for reuse across the business. Within Silkflow, we also have things like for the automation teams, things like dedicated dashboards, real-time analytics to kind of show what's being done by who, where they are within that development pipeline. And we keep the original idea submitters and the original employees involved in that as well and updated. But then also helping them track or estimate, first off, the project costs of all of these. A lot of that work is done manually, and at least in Silkflow, it's slightly automated, so that once you've actually built these automations, one, you have an expectation of what your KPIs, what your ROI should be, and then you can match that against real-time performance. So that's how we solve the visibility aspect.
So one thing with this visibility is it's, yeah, you can, we can have all these processes and then people don't follow them. So, I've had this experience multiple times and it was all spreadsheets, but guys fill out this spreadsheet with all your project details. Half of them don't. And then, so what's your experience? How do you solve that problem?
Yeah, so that's a great point. And it's pretty much how it's been done in pretty much every single project I've ever been on. I don't recall a time when that's not been the case. You have like an Excel spreadsheet, you send it out, the BA is sitting there waiting for maybe 2 to 3 weeks, wondering, chasing people up and trying to get their time. I think that's the key point. But with Silkflow, what we try to do is just make it easy for anyone to just log in, double check, contribute, and it's simply a case of just going to a URL and it's done. It's a challenge and it always will be a challenge. But by trying to take that kind of online and create that kind of async kind of conversation, it definitely helps.
Yeah, and I think better form design and such things help,
Ease of
with
use was a key
ease of
thing
use.
for us.
Yeah,
Yeah.
ease of use. Yeah, that's the term I was looking for. I had one time, designed one spreadsheet and sent it to, like, I was leading a practice and I sent it to everyone, and I had a co-manager too. We sent it out and then we never got any responses, zero responses. And then I was like, what, these guys are so lazy, until I sat down and tried to fill out that Excel and I was like, oh my God, this is really tough. So
I've been there, mate. I used to be a business analyst doing all this stuff at the very beginning when RPA and all that stuff was a big thing, and it kind of still is, but yeah, it's you end up with having like 25, 30, 40 different columns, and no one knows how to fill this out. That's why you don't get any replies.
Any replies? Yeah. So yeah, go back and look at your processes
Exactly.
if it's. And I think the good thing with having tools like Silkflow is that you can keep learning and keep updating it. And so you're doing this across customers. So as you say, ease of use is something you can bring in. So now, yeah, let's say everyone have filled out, hopefully filled out their details, and we are getting ready to go. You're talking about design governance, ensuring that there is a governance brought around this whole thing. So how do we go about that?
Yeah, so that's always a tricky one, and it is one of the key ones to ensure that any kind of digital transformation, whether it's with automation or AI, actually goes through and is successful, right? Everyone talks about different COE models, and we have, it's always a tricky one. No one really knows where to go, but it always starts off as like a centralized thing. But in the end, I've seen a lot of companies end up diverting back to that centralized model after trying out federated or trying out hybrid because it's too hard to maintain. And I think it's happened in one of it's been discussed in one of your other podcasts as well, where it just becomes tricky to manage, and certain areas of that federated model that they just don't scale. So what we've done is we've centralized all of that. So no matter what department you're from, no matter what COE or whatever you want to call them, center of excellence, there's so many different names for it, so much jargon. Yeah, we just create all that in one place. So you've got that strategic insight into your whole digital landscape. Cross-functional collaboration, right? So you can really ensure that security and quality standards can be implemented in a standardized way. And I think that's the key part, just the standardization of it. Because a lot of these companies, they all have a couple of POCs. There are so many different consultancies out there. They all have their own way of doing things. But giving that company the internal ability to do it themselves in their own way, but also with all of the expertise built in, I think it's been quite a game changer for one or two clients.
I think going back to your earlier point of having a visibility into all these initiatives, so there's an easy way to put in these initiatives in. And so there's a central place where people can look at it and then go and, start the governance for them. I think it's a great first step because, many of these initiatives, especially now, there's a lot of citizen development going on. And Alex from finance is doing his own thing, right? And so then nobody from anyone, no one knows about it. Alex from finance has done it. And then when, there is no governance to it, and then one day he leaves, and then that whole thing, that's when people realize, oh my God, there was a lot of things he was doing. So having a central place of visibility and bringing governance is a key thing, right?
And it also helps with that modular approach, right? Like modular distributed teams as well, right? So just being able to reuse a lot of the stuff that Alex guy in finance did. And again, share that with other development teams across the business. I think that's going to be key going forward, especially when we have a lot of more fantastic automation tools coming up. You've got generative AI, being able to share those prompts across the business to save time, just little things like that. It really helps just to have that centralized aspect.
That's very true. Capturing the organizational knowledge and reusing whatever is available already built, but more centrally also, bringing in that security, that compliance to ensure that, these are all very powerful tools. So earlier Alex from finance didn't have access to it, but slowly he is becoming more and more powerful. So how do we as an organization bring a fence around it, right?
Yeah, and how do we encourage it? How do we get them engaged? How do we? I think the key part, and I think it goes back to the three problems I mentioned earlier, right? Poor visibility, design governance, and culture change. PDC, I think we tried to summarize it as like poor design culture. And it's just a case of creating that culture. And that's a difficult job for anyone. But it's all to do with feedback loops, encouragement, engagement, and training. And that's something no software tool can do. It's a combination of experience, is a combination of leadership, and yes, software does help, but hopefully what we've done with our platform is give you the tools to do that.
And like you say, everyone is led by technology, and we go do things. So people do their own things right now, and then also IT does its own things, and all that ultimately leads to, a lot of things happening but not coordinated. So I'm thinking, tools such as this brings in that visibility and that centralized governance so that it can be managed. And then that leads to a better culture in the organization, right? Like, since you have the visibility, you have the governance, now you can let people within the organization innovate. And since they are innovating, they are part of the process. A big reason that automations fail, or any AI initiative, most of the digital initiatives fail, is not because the technology was not good. Technology is getting better. It's awesome. It's that people didn't accept it, or people didn't understand it. You know, so the culture, as you say, is a key aspect of it. And so building that is very important. And so once people have and people understand that they can innovate with the tools, and that brings them in as champions within the organization, who will push your initiative within the organization rather than you pushing it. So I call it push and pull. So they are actually pulling. So they are coming and saying, okay, no, I'm stuck with this tool. Can you help me? I'm stuck with this particular thing I'm automating. Can you help me? So I think there is that thing, right? So, I think a lot of companies now pushing champions within the organizations who can push this thing through, right? So what has been your experience in that area?
I think champions are key for any new technology implementation or adoption, right?
Right.
And the only way to create champions from the employees or from your business is to get them involved, to empower them, to encourage them. It goes back to the five E's that we talked about once in our, yeah, in our club sessions.
Yeah, can you elaborate on that? Can you? Because people may not have heard about it.
God, do you I can't remember off the top of my head, to be honest. Okay. I think it was to do with, if I can relate to them, encouragement, engagement, education, empowerment, and the final one was to do with feedback. it's definitely something to check out on your automation club if they've got access. But yeah, just get creating those champions is a key thing. It's still something where change management principles can really help out. I haven't got time to go into that today, I guess one of the things I learned as a BA and project manager and lead in many different companies is to broaden your horizons, and just training up leadership as well on those change management principles does help. But again, two-way feedback loops, you know, can really help drive the adoption across the business and ensuring that voices are heard. The champions piece, I mean, without champions, we wouldn't have technological advancements. You need people to believe in the future of the company and the future of the company using these tools.
Totally agreed. So just about your five E framework, I think I'll share your slide in the show notes so that people who don't have access can look at it. But yeah, like you said, if you want to watch the whole thing and much more, join the club. So getting back to Silkflow, so how have you seen this emerge within an example organization, like the culture change? How is it seeping in? How do these people get educated, encouraged? Can you give a typical example of how it happens?
Yeah, of course. So we had one major use case at the very beginning of Silkflow, which I'm still proud of today. And I think it's even better today than when we originally started. Not what you'd think, a manufacturing firm from Europe, do a lot of IoT, they're quite knowledgeable with, you know, physical automation and especially like machine learning in that aspect. But again, it was all on the physical side. So when it came to digital robots, there was still a lot of education. They dabbled in a number of different tools. They were quite forward thinking when it came to adopting things like RPA, IDP solutions, and a few others. And the interesting thing is they weren't tied to one particular vendor or provider. They were using, and it was quite advanced to be fair, using different vendors for different processes and finding the right tool for the problem instead of fitting the tool to every problem, right? Mm-hmm. Now situation. But they were looking for something, because currently everything was being done using vendor spreadsheets and so on. Tracking was done via, you know, generalized, quite common project management tools. I'm going to name names. But they were looking for, the team were looking for something to centralize and streamline their whole kind of automation and AI lifecycle, because they were dabbling in NLP a little bit as well. And I think, again, we were at the early stage, but it really helped kind of build that business case. The fact that we were able to centralize all of that, give them that repository they needed, give them that channel that they needed for two-way feedback with them and their employees. And also with a tool that was dedicated to automation using the right metrics that you would if you were to go to a big four consultancy. And in just a really, I think the key thing was the ease of use, you know, because again, it was Europe. There's a lot of languages spoken in Europe, but a lot of the team that they were giving this out to, again, manufacturing firm, not massively technical, were easily able to adopt it across the business.
So there are many such pipeline management, recording manager, sorry, idea management systems out there, right? So how do you differentiate yourself there?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, when you're a founder and you're starting off, you always think you're the best one and so on. I think the key thing that differentiates Silkflow from some of the others is our focus on a few things. One, the project, the ideation and innovation part. We've put a lot of effort into making that as easy as possible. But again, one of the benefits is that it's niche purely for automation and AI projects. So it's not just for, you know, any old marketing thing or so on. It's literally niche for this landscape, the digital landscape. Another thing is the culture aspect, which really sets us apart. So we're trying to create a really fun, engaging platform, not just for the C-suite or not just for the IT leaders or so on, but purely because we understand that now and even going forward, the end users are going to be the real ones that are driving these big cultural changes within the organization.
Right.
So our focus is on the end user and ease of use.
So ease of use is what differentiates you guys from the other guys, right? And so from a, you know, looking for just let's look ahead in terms of where we are going. We have now generative AI coming into the market. There's a lot of innovations expected from, and a lot of things are pivoting towards people. And like you said, people driving the cultural change, the technological change, the innovations. So how is Silkflow going to evolve along with that? What's your roadmap?
Yeah, sure. So I guess without going into too much detail, we're going to focus more on like seamless integration with a lot of these new and upcoming intelligent automation tools.
Okay.
So a lot of the current competitors are focusing on, say, RPA and such. We're broadening our horizons and being more agnostic. And I think key one, just going based on what you said as well, is the focus on the employee experience, really creating and encouraging the, well, emphasizing the 5 E's that you're going to put in the slide notes, because I think they're the ones that, like I mentioned, they're the ones that are really going to drive change. And it's really these automation and AI tools, which again, now since they're becoming more and more freely available,
Right.
and again, going back to ease of use, their ease of use is getting, everyone's using some of the large language models that are out at the moment. But before, a few months ago, no one knew about NLP or LLMs. So I think the tools and the technologies that are going forward, they're really making it easy. They're going to be the ones that are enabling change. They're going to be the ones that are helping drive the change because they're so accessible. And they're going to really help create that ability to create fantastic culture changes throughout the organizations and creating that better design governance. So I think that's kind of where we're going with that. We're following that kind of direction and just helping people, not just in the C-suite, gain visibility, but also the end users as well, as really they're the ones that are driving this change.
Okay. And you did mention integration with tools. So can you explain for the viewer, for the listeners, what do you mean by that? Integration with tools?
Yeah, so integration with a lot of different intelligent automation tools in
Yeah.
order to showcase not just the estimated benefits, but also the real-time benefits of any kind of automation and AI project. And I think one of the key things is just the agnosticity of the whole thing. It's going to be very developer friendly, and we're going to open up our API so that it's really general and really open.
Okay. And so vendors can plug in into this ecosystem and then they can push their data so that people can track in real time how much they're saving, what are the, you know, return on investment and things like that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not tied to just a few vendors or anything. It's going to be purely agnostic.
Excellent. And so yeah, multiple tools coming into the market. How do you see the intelligent automation or even the whole AI space itself evolves?
It's incredible actually how fast everyone's been jumping on board. And I think that's because some of the companies have really made a good effort in increasing the usability and access to these tools. Beforehand, it was all just enterprises that had access to all this, right?
Right.
I mean, I was actually using AI writers and a few other AI-based tools beforehand. And they were very basic because they all had their own different language, they all had their own different models. But now they're able to tap into these really, really fantastic foundational models and foundational technologies. It's going to be an interesting next few years. I think it's hard for me to put a finger on it, but if I was to say some of the topics or some of the themes that we're going to see, I think it will be really just improving the employee experience, making AI a lot more accessible. So instead of just low code, I mean, low code is still going to be there and still going to be, I think, more of an important thing, but you're going to see like voice activated automation. It's not just going to be dragging and drop anymore. It's going to be even easier to access and use these tools and build with these tools. I think you're going to see a lot of, again, going back to some examples that we've talked about previously, a lot of seamless integration between them as well. You might have some companies that larger companies that platform out, but then you'll easily be able to create your own custom automation and AI toolkit based on what's out there. But then, aside from all this, you'll also have the ethical considerations, right? We've
Yeah.
already had some scares recently with some of the, data being leaked, some of the bias that these tools still have. And I think just being able to, I think it'll be easier to train these tools on company-specific data. And I think the ethics of AI will be a key focus in the next definitely 2 years, 3 years. And again, we'll see more use of natural language processing. All for it.
Yeah, really exciting time ahead, right? And one thing that I've been thinking about is that this new AI is more and more about people rather than it's about augmenting specific people and making them more efficient, more productive, and things like that. We've been talking of citizen development for quite some time. A lot of it has been marketing, honestly, but I think this new AI actually changes the game with, like you said, natural language commands and processing. So I think, yeah, it's all about people. And in this space, I think it's all about empowering them and what you guys are doing as a mission to empower people within the organization to use digital, I think is one of the key things for the future, as I
Thanks.
said.
Yeah, I honestly think that that's going to be driving everything forward.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see less fear now that it's being used consistently and much more widely than ever before. And again, like a lot of it still is free. It makes it so much more accessible. Before this, no one knew what NLP meant. No one knew what LLMs meant. Now you've got, my little sister talking about it. You've got my auntie talking about it. It's crazy. It really is amazing. Like, I just
I
think
think,
it's going to be focused on the end user experience going forward.
yeah, and I think it's a genius thing that OpenAI did was put it out there as a chat GPT, and I think somebody who were there, it's all credit to them, and that has changed the whole conversation out there.
I think it has, and it's leading a lot of companies to really up their game when it comes to implementing all this. If it's just the smallest way, it does help. It's pretty impressive.
Yes, it is. So, if people want to get started with Silkflow, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, sure. So we're releasing a publicly available version in the next few months.
Okay.
So you're more than welcome to go log on and try that out and try it for free. Otherwise, just feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or via email, alexander@silkflow.com. More than happy to answer any questions. Yeah, and again, even if you just want to talk about AI automation, I'm here all week. I'm here every day.
Yeah, and I know you've got some awesome insights from what we've seen in the club. So
Thanks, man.
thank you, Alex. So this was a great conversation. Great having you today. Thank you for spending time with us today.
Always a pleasure, Nanda.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.